Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, why don't we pray for the word before we look into it tonight? Heavenly Father, we love your word. We love that your word is the greatest treasure of our lives, Lord, the greatest book that we could ever look into, that we could ever live according to. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you are the living God. Therefore, your word is the living word. And tonight, Lord, we just desire that you would speak, that you would come and have your way in our hearts, God. We have faith and expectancy in our spirit tonight, oh Lord, that you would come and have your way, God. Change us into your image, we pray. Let us be those that you would call and that you would walk so closely beside. In your mighty name we pray, amen, amen. Well, our title tonight is Guard Your Anointing, Part 2. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1 and 3 to 10 speaks to us about guarding our ministry in all areas. It's titled Marks of the Ministry. Trust that you can pull this into your spirit with faith as we read it together tonight. We then, as workers together with him, give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, needs, distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, in labors and sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Welcome to the ministry, church. We stand steadfast in all things, in all seasons, and we guard our holy anointing in the name of Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the Lord has chosen us, how he has called each one of us by name, how he has anointed us with a holy, divine purpose, that we would be ministers unto him. And the promise for us today as priests of the Lord is that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. 1 John 2, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And this word, anointing, is translated unction. It is an ointment that literally means to smear on, that it would cover every part of us. The special endowment of the Holy Spirit is meant that we would speak the oracles of God, is meant that we would minister unto the Lord and we would minister the word of the Lord to one another. The Amplified Version of 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. The Holy Spirit prepares us to be set apart to minister to each other. He illuminates our minds to know the truth of the Word of God, and he guards us from error. We must be aware of the forces that are at work to attack your anointing, to weaken your spiritual fervor and faithfulness, to keep your praise sporadic. There is a spiritual war that the Bible is clear on and that the Lord teaches us about. There is a war against your soul. There is a war against yours and your children's spiritual fervency and passion for Jesus Christ. There is a war for your hearts and for your minds every day. This war is real. There's a spiritual war against us every single day, and the time for us to be trained and guarded is now. The time for us to train our children in their spiritual armor and their weaponry is now. The time for the Church of Jesus Christ to advance with a holy violence for the kingdom of God is now, because we know that the enemy is advancing violently. So must we as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let us be strengthened tonight to guard our anointing as ministers of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6, a very familiar passage to us. It is entitled, The Spiritual War. And in this passage, at the end of these verses, our obedience is equated with our spiritual weapons. Because us being armed in the Spirit is not a request. It is not a suggestion, but it is a command. It is a requirement. But we cannot minister effectively if we are defeated. We cannot minister effectively if the anointing is dried up. We cannot minister effectively if we are walking in disobedience. Our families need us to be anointed. Our church needs its members to be anointed. Every place the Lord has set us is ripe for spiritual breakthrough, but we need the endowment of the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. There are four areas of anointing that I felt the Lord wanted to strengthen us in, to admonish us to guard, and we looked at the first two a couple of weeks ago. Just to recap really quickly, number one was anoint my heart. King David was a fierce warrior for the Lord. He was anointed in his heart to be steadfast and strong in the cause for which God had called him to. And when the taunting of the enemy came to him in 1 Samuel chapter 17 from his own brother as well as the giant champion Goliath, from his own brother as well, David was able to recognize the attack. He was able to recognize the hurtful words for what they were. A tactic of the enemy to shake his faith, his trust in God, to shake the resolve within his heart. But because David sought after the Lord in the deepest places of his heart, there was a guard and an anointing upon his heart. He was able to move past this quickly and keep his eyes on the Lord. And he says in verse 29 in this passage, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Satan, get behind me. Satan, stop speaking against the motivations of my heart, for my heart is set on the cause of God and what he wants to do in this time, in this place." David's anointing and strength is further seen when he says to Saul in verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of this enemy. Your servant will go and fight against this Philistine." The Israelites shrunk back for 40 days because of fear. There was not a guard upon their hearts. There was no anointing upon their hearts. They were not fortified with the Spirit of God. They were not guarded against the enemy's voice. And the Lord urges us to put upon, to cover our hearts with the breastplate of righteousness, which is the Word of God, and to take up our shield of faith. Number two was, anoint my eyes and ears. Our anointing is crucial in order for us to push back the powers of darkness. In order for us to overcome the wiles of the enemy that are seeking to shake the glory of God off of our lives. And you can be sure that what enters our eyes and what enters our ears, it matters. They are the gateway to our hearts. They are the gateway to our passions and to our anointing. Ephesians 6, verse 15, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace," we are priests who need to be in prayer at all times, "for spiritual breakthrough to come forth over our sons and daughters, over our church, over every person in our lives." And so, church, we must guard as much as we can in the areas where we have choice. We must guard the places that we allow our feet to enter so that what we see and what we hear does not compromise the standard of the Lord for our anointing. We must have perfect vision in the spiritual. Not that we would always know his plan, that would be wonderful, but that we would trust that his ways are always better and always higher than our ways. Well, number three tonight is anoint my mind. Anoint my mind. There is a battle that rages all day long for the thoughts that rule our minds. We could spend hours talking about the battlefields of our mind, but would you agree with me tonight that it is time to train our minds? It is time for us to be in control of our thoughts by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, in the Amplified Version, I wonder if we could read this together as a church out loud and pull this truth into our spirit tonight. but we have the minds of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. We have the mind of Christ. What do you think the mind of Christ is like? Strong and steadfast in the cause of his Father at all times, knowing exactly who he is, knowing exactly what the lies of the enemy look like, and able to just pluck those out immediately from his mind. We are to be anointed in our minds that our thoughts, that our thinking would line up with the cause of Christ, with his truths, and his purpose for us to be ministers. And yet we know that there is a battle raging for our minds. We were given instruction to protect our head, to protect our thoughts from the enemy, Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says to put on our helmet, which is our hope of salvation. Our salvation in the Lord is our hope for eternity. And when we put this hope on, it will secure our soul and our mind from the fiery darts of the enemy, which seeks to rob us of this hope, which seeks to rob us of our security and purpose in Christ. You see, Satan would tempt your mind to despair, but we must fix our thoughts. We must fix our hope on Christ. The enemy is after your identity in Christ. He is after the truth of who Jesus has called you to be. He is after the strength and the purity of your thoughts. What are some of the fiery darts that attack your mind? What are some of the thoughts that hold you back from being anointed, that hold you back from advancing in what God has called you to do, that hold you back from ministering to other people? What are some of the thoughts that hold you back from growing in your gifting and your calling? Can you recognize these thoughts, church, as lies, as a tactic of Satan to keep the church powerless, to keep the church ineffective, to keep the church from growing and from advancing in the cause of God for his kingdom? Well, do you mean to say that every single time a thought enters my mind of worry, every single time a thought enters of fear that causes me to be distracted from the call of God on my life, that every single time those thoughts enter, that I am to pull in the scriptures and I am to speak the truth of God every single time? Absolutely. If that is what it takes for the church of Jesus Christ to be pure in her thoughts, for the church of Jesus Christ to advance in the cause of God, to understand who she is, then yes, we speak the truth every single time. We understand the word of God. We pull in the written word of God. We line up our minds with the mind of Jesus Christ, and we will win that battle. Know the written word so that you can train your minds and guard that anointing. We guard the anointing of our mind by speaking and living these truths. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, are pure, are lovely, are of good report, if there is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And finally, Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There is a guard, church, that we must put over our minds, over every thought, over every way of thinking in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint our minds, we pray, that we would be filled with your thoughts. Let your truth penetrate our thoughts and break off every lie and every weakness in the name of Jesus, that we can advance in freedom and truth. That is the will for us. And number four, the final point tonight is anoint my mouth. Anoint my mouth. We must ask the Lord to anoint the confessions and words of our mouth. Ephesians 6, 14, 17 to 18. Here are our weapons for this. Stand, therefore, get up, get out of bed, stand up, having girded your waist with truth. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Our weapon here is the belt of truth. It is the sword of the Spirit, which teaches us regarding our praise and prayer warfare, the anointed words and prayers that need to flow from within us. Isn't it true that every day we are given opportunities to minister to other people? Every day we are given opportunities to speak the oracles of God, to allow the rivers of living water to pour forth from our lives. How often do you find yourself in conversations with other people, in a coffee shop, in a meeting, in your office, in the hospital, visiting someone, in a text or email conversation, in your home with your family, driving in the car with your children, with friends, in the foyer of church, in different ministries, or perhaps even where you are sitting? And how often in those conversations does the other person need a little bit of encouragement, need a little bit of strength, of comfort, divine wisdom from the Lord? And how often have you felt to yourself that you are not equipped to be able to minister in that moment, that you feel as though you do not have the word of God for that person in that particular situation? But the truth is that you are anointed. You do have the what you need to be equipped with by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is at work and living inside of you. But we need to guard, and we need to protect the anointing of our words. There are divine scriptures. There are holy moments of divine wisdom where the Lord will give us the right word. He'll give us the right thing, the right verse, the right encouragement that comes directly from him. And church, the people in our lives, these are the only words that they need to hear. Our families, our church family, the people that God has set in our lives, they do not need to hear the wisdom of the world. They do not need to hear some popular quote that was given by some ungodly person, by someone who doesn't know the Lord. They do not need to hear an eloquent poem, famous words. They need the divine, holy word of God. They need the prayers of the saints. They need the word of the Lord to pour forth from our lives. This is the only word. These are the only words that will penetrate the darkness, that will penetrate the loneliness, the hurts, the grief, the discouragement, the pain, are the living waters of the Holy Spirit that yearns to pour forth, that needs to pour forth from our lives. And you can be sure tonight that the enemy is after your voice. He is after the anointing of your voice, the anointing of the words that the Lord wants to pour forth. And the anointing that the Lord pours out over our mouths, it happens in our moments of praise. It happens in our moments of deep yearnings unto the Lord, of our prayers and intercessions. And in the moments as we pour forth out of our spirit and out of our mouth, the Lord begins to pour in his holy oil. He begins to pour in the new wine upon us. He begins to pour in his anointing so that when we speak, it is the divine oracles of the Lord. It is his words. As I've been studying David's anointing in the story of his battle with Goliath, the Lord has highlighted this principle to me in the opening verses. In this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see David's anointed heart of faith and courage. We see his anointed eyes to see the vision of the Lord for victory. We see his anointed armor as he took off the natural armor and he fought Goliath in the name of the Lord and with his supernatural weaponry. David saw the cause of the Lord, and he was steadfast. He was full of such faith and courage for this cause, no matter how many enemies came up against him that day. But the opening verses of this passage, of this story, they show us the setting of this battle. They show us the ground that this battle was fought on. And I believe that there is spiritual significance here where the Lord is admonishing us to guard the anointing of our praise and prayer warfare. Let's read these verses together in 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 to 3. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soho, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soho and Azekah and Ephes-Damim, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit would have us take note of where the Philistine army, of where the enemy's army set up their battlefield position on that day against the army of the Lord. It says the enemy's army gathered at Soho, which belongs to Judah. We know, church, that the tribe of Judah, they were divinely appointed by God to be the tribe of praise. When the Israelites were conquering the Canaanites, the Lord commanded Judah to go ahead of the army. We know this familiar passage. He called the worshipers, he called the praise warriors to be on the front lines, to lead the army into battle. For when God's people position themselves on the battlefield, when they begin to lift their voices and their instruments of songs unto the Lord, giving him thanksgiving, declaring of his mighty works and his ability to move, it is then that the hand of God moves and he begins to slay every single enemy in our path. One of the most beautiful stories that proclaim this truth is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When the enemies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir went up against Jehoshaphat, it says that Jehoshaphat heard about a great multitude of enemies that were coming his way, that were coming to attack him. And in the story, it says that he feared greatly for this multitude of armies that were coming against him. And so he set himself to fast, to seek the Lord. He needed the counsel of God, the strength of the Lord, wisdom, supernatural help. I'd like to just read this story together tonight. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 13, 15 to 17, and 21 to 22. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Verse 17, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.' And now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Listen, God commands our praise to be unto him at all times, but especially when we are face to face with our enemies. His victory stands ready to break forth, to slay every giant that dares to defy the armies of the living God. And in our passage in 1 Samuel, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and they were gathered at Soho, which belongs to Judah." And there is a spiritual principle that we need to understand here. The enemy literally encamped in the place of praise. The enemy set up their position in the place of praise. You see, the enemy on this day, they were skilled. They had confidence that they were going to win the battle that day. They believed that they would win this battle against the people of God. They believed that they would be able to impart fear and discouragement and despair into their hearts. And church, they even believed that the people of God would not pick up their weapons of praise that day. They believed, they set up literally in the place of their praise, of the people of God's praise, because they believed that the people of God would not have the confession in their mouths of their faith and their trust in God, of their praises to the Lord. And as they encamped in the place of praise, we in fact do see that the entire Israelite army fled in fear for 40 days from the one giant that set himself up in front of them. They did not have the praise in their mouths. They did not have the confession of faith and trust. They let the enemy of their soul win in that season. Then comes David, confessing the cause of God for that army on that day, confessing with his mouth that God would enable him to be victorious. What was it that caused David to defeat the giants that day? It was the confession of his mouth. It was his praise and spoken faith unto his God that day that released the Lord's anointing and enabled David to secure God's victory and defeat those enemies. Let's have the worship team return at this time, please. You know, David proves this truth in his life time and time again. Whenever fear sought to rob his victory, when discouragement sought to infiltrate his soul, whenever his faith and his trust was attacked, David was an anointed musician. He was a skilled and devoted worshiper. He was a prayer warrior who spoke and sang of his love for God and his word at all times. David's praise and confession of faith secured God's anointing upon him. He defeated the enemies of his soul over and over because of the praise and anointing that was in his mouth. You know, we receive a lot of teaching in this church about our praise warfare, but we can never hear these truths too often, too many times, because we all need a reminder. We all need an encouragement and understanding that God anoints our praise. He sets ambushes against our enemies the moment we begin to praise. Some of you here tonight, you might find yourself on the battlefield in this moment, in this season. Or we can all think of a time of when we were on the battlefield. As we find ourselves on the battlefields, we can be sure that as our enemies are facing us, that they have set themselves on the battle line of our praise. They have set themselves on the battle line of your confession of faith, of your confession of your trust in God. And these enemies are taunting you to keep you fearful, to keep your faith weak, to keep your trust weak. They are literally working to keep you silent. They are working to keep your hands down. They are working hard, church, to keep your praise from gushing forth out of your spirit in the name of Jesus. And in that battle that you find yourself in, may we understand and see clearly that there is a line in front of us and the enemies have set themselves up in front of us and they're waiting to see what we're going to do. My God, who dares to defy the armies of the living God? Who dares to defy the armies of the living God? Who dares to defy the confession of our mouth, the confession of our faith, of our trust? Who dares to defy our praises and our worship in the Lord Jesus Christ at all times? I pray tonight that we would understand that this is not a time to be silent in our prayers. This is not a time for negative confessions. Get them out of your life right now in the name of Jesus. This is a time to guard the anointing upon our lives, to guard the anointing upon our mouth, upon our words, by advancing on the battlefields with warfare, praises, and prayers. Can you allow a spirit of faith, a resolve to rise up within you that you will guard the anointing of your mouth by not being silent on the battlefields? Let the praise of honor continually pour forth. Let the praise of thanksgiving be heard from your mouth every single day. Let the prayers go forth. Let the confession, the oracles of God, that we trust in the name of the Lord our God above everything else, let those words be heard in your home, in your workplace, in your car, wherever you find yourself during the week. We can leave here on Sundays being strengthened and encouraged. But how many of you know that Monday comes, Thursday comes, Friday comes, the enemy comes advancing violently against us? It's time for us to not give the devil a foothold during the week, but to be those who advance on the battlefields every day, all week long, that we would stand sure and steadfast and strong in the name of the Lord. We need to be anointed in this day and pray earnestly that the Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of our listeners, that their spirit would leap in hunger for the presence of Christ, that they encounter because they've been with us, because we have been with Jesus. There are enemies fighting for the anointing upon our lives. And what does our enemy fear the most that he tries to keep us from? Our praise warfare, our prayer warfare, our anointing as we minister unto the Lord and unto others. Let's stand together tonight, church. Our weapons of righteousness, our spiritual armor is effective to guard our anointing. It will guard the anointing of our hearts, the anointing of our eyes and ears. It will guard the anointing of our minds and our mouth. 2 Timothy 1, verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep, guard it, watch over it by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The endowment of power from on high, the anointing that the Lord has poured out over us, the cause for which God has set this army in this place for this time. Keep it, guard it by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, because you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart and specially gifted by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And yes, Lord, tonight. Let's take a few moments and just worship the Lord. If you need prayer for anything, the altars are open. We'd love to pray with you. But church, I pray tonight that we can just receive this word, that we can just pull the Spirit of the Lord into our hearts, that we can pull the word of the Lord into our hearts, that we could perhaps recognize areas where we have allowed the devil to have a foothold, and where we would just begin to guard afresh, guard every area of our lives afresh, because God wants to do something great. He wants to do something special in our midst. He is ready to pour out. I believe that every word of the Lord is yes, and it is amen. And I believe that we are living in a day where he wants to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all sons and all daughters in the name of Jesus. Nobody is left out of this, but church, we need to guard our anointing. And so tonight, we lift our praises and we lift our prayers. And most importantly, we lift the confession of our faith and our trust in the Almighty God tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's worship him.